You're listening to the Church for Life Weekly Message Podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from our guest speaker. You can find out more information about our church by visiting churchforlife.com.
We're going to get ready for the Word of God and excited to share from the Word, from Scriptures today, from some great letters written by some great people who love Jesus. And we are blessed that you're here this morning. And excited that you have chosen to spend some time with. Every time you come to church, we're just so blessed by it. You're choosing the lots of things you could do Sunday morning with. Some of you are wishing you were there right now, but that's okay. We're glad that you're here with us to be able to receive, to spend some time with God and each other. It's such a great thing to be together. We have a special treat today. We're in a series on family and talking about family, and we've been stepping through some scriptures because our heart is that your family would be something that you love to go home to the long day, that you dream about spending time with your family. Now, your family might look different than my family. You could be a family with tons of kids, or you could be newly married or engaged or not even married at all. Maybe your family is, I'm a family of one at home right now with some best friends maybe. Maybe that's your family. But whatever your family looks like, we're excited because the series that we've been in is we're focusing on how you make your family really healthy, a place where you have joy and God's presence and His peace there, where you all love to be together. That's kind of been my prayer as a dad and a husband, that we would love to be together at home, that our kids as they grow up would love to be with us. And so there's some principles that we've learned through spending time with God that help us. And today we're going to focus on kids and how investing in our kids leads to that. And if you have kids, if you know kids, if you are a young person today, this message is going to bless you. But I felt today that instead of me preaching it, that I wanted to bring in a little bit of an expert. And how many of you know sometimes it's good to have an expert come in and preach and teach some things too? And so this morning we have someone that has been in the school district, been teaching your young people for years now, who loves kids, who loves her own kids, and actually has invested the last, I think, 11 years in ministry focusing on kids. That's someone who's got some credentials, right? Come on, someone who has some credentials to her name. And so we're blessed because she chooses this place as her church home. And so would you stand to your feet? Let's welcome Christy Ortiz to the stage this morning to share. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Come on, stand up. We love this. You guys are amazing. It is so good to be in God's presence, and you can be seated this morning. Thank you, Christy, for sharing, and I'll give the mic over to you.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. I know I don't mind being up here, but it's not even about me, it's about Jesus. So it always gets me a little nervous when people talk about me. It makes me a little uncomfortable, but thank you, Jesus, and thank all of you guys for honoring me in that way. Like you said, my name is Christy, but I go through, or I get called many names, not bad names, I hope, but I can't control everybody. But Mrs. Ortiz, like he said, I have been a teacher for the last like 10 years. I've been subbing and teaching in the high school now, and I counted up just my high schoolers that I've taught, and it's close to 2,000 kids in the last. I was like, whoa. Yeah, PE, we have big numbers, so there's like 50, and then, a lot of kids. So I am so blessed that God chose me for that, but I also go by Miss Christy, like he said, so a lot of my CFL kids, they'll call me Miss Christy. And then I go by sister, so I have a couple of my sisters in the crowd, look at the supporting. Auntie, see my nieces and nephews, they're here too. And babe from my amazing husband, or Christy Marie, if he needs my attention. but one of my favorites is mom. I am so privileged to be a mom. And it's just my heart that I do it well, that I really do am intentional with my relationships, with my kids, but really with everyone around me. I was a mom at 20 years of age, yes, a young one, but people would tell me, you were just always just meant to be a mom. And I'm like, well, God help me, because parenting is tough. But I know me and my husband came into it once we got married to be like, divorce is off of the table, because one of our commitment to each other, we both grew up in households where our biological parents were not together, and that always takes a toll on the kids, no matter how well it's done. But we want it differently for our kids as well. We want them to see us working together, us committing ourselves to God, and to them, knowing that this is their family, this is their home. We don't want to have to split them up. But it chose us. I mean, it took us choosing that for us and really leaning into God for his help, because I cannot do it on my own. He can't do it on his own. We can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. I mean, I need Jesus for everything. Every single moment of my day, I need God helping me. Even with teaching, I mean, I'm in a room with 36 to 50 teenagers. Some of you guys don't even want to be in the same room with a teenager. Like, it scares you, or like you're thinking of your kids when they're teenagers and you're like, ah. But I walk into my job, and I really do just love it. I am passionate about it. Every person, every student that comes into my room, I want them to know that they are cared for, that they are accepted as they are, but they are challenged to be the best person that they can be. So, yes, come as you are, but don't stay that way, because I expect the absolute best out of you guys, because I know what they're capable of. So I know that they're loved and cared for and helped through that process. And it doesn't matter what their grade is in my class. My A students and my F students, yes, there are F students in my class, I do fail some, but I treat them the exact same, because it's not their how often they do their work, it's not anything else, it's their character. That's where I treat them. I treat them as people. I treat them as valuable, because that's how God made them. Like, that's because of who they are. And I want them to have that strong character, because they can get an A in my class but really fail in life by not applying those truths. Because I teach health, and we could talk about anything in health, but one of the main things I do is about healthy relationships, because God set it up in our brain. Like, not just in here, he talks about relationships, but how he made our body, like, we thrive off of healthy relationships. If you have healthy, supportive relationships, you are happier. Research has shown. How many of you guys want to be a little happier? Yes, yes, amen. You also don't get sick as often, right? That's helpful. You are more resilient, so you're able to bounce back from troubles that you have. Yes, amen, right? You also live longer. All just from having healthy, strong relationships. Like, that's how God wired our brains, to thrive off of these healthy relationships. So I always tell them that, yes, you can get an A, but if you're not applying those relationship or those principles to your relationship with yourself and your relationship to others, okay, then you're going to fail in some things in life. You're going to run into some trouble, because it's not about the rules and doing the assignments and passing the tests or saying the right things. It's about really applying those to your life. So this reminded me of me in my baby Christian days. So I was saved at 18 years old. Okay, so I don't know, I'm a teenage. I guess I'm a teenage Christian, because that's been about 12 years now. Yeah, bear with me through my teenage years. Teenagers are awesome though, right? Teens, right? They're awesome. Give it up for them. They really are, but I would not want to go back to my teenage years. Let me just make that clear. That's why I said I did not want to go back. I love who I am, you know, saved by grace. but I would not want to go back, but I really honor them, because teenage, yeah, God does so much work in our teenagers. But it is not about the rules and regulations that God puts out to us. When he came down from heaven, it was because he wanted to restore relationship with you. Hey, he could have stayed up there in this perfect heavenly place with no tears, no sadness, okay, no people questioning him and spitting on him, no people whipping him or denying him. He could have stayed up there, but he chose to come down. The purpose was to restore relationship with each and every one of us. Okay, so we're going to watch this video right now that really highlighted this to me in my baby Christian days. As I watched this, it was a perspective shift. So you can go ahead and play it. Thank you, guys. All right, pretty powerful. And that line in there, about the behavior modification. If it was just about behavior modification, Jesus would not have had to come down. his heart was relationship. He put first things first, and that was relationship. And he did it by coming down, okay, dying on that cross, rising again. Okay, and the last thing that Jesus said before he ascended back to earth is what we're getting to. You're like, what does this have to do with parenting? Hold on, we're gonna get there, okay? What does this have to do with parenting, right? If we want life change for our kids, for the people around us, it's gonna be through relationship. Just like Jesus modeled for us, just like God modeled for us as our Father in heaven, it's through relationship. It always was, always will be about that. Okay, but before he ascended back up to heaven, I think it's important. This was the last things he said. This was his mic drop moment. Okay, so let's look at Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Okay, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples that I have been given all authority, not some, right? All authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, right, because he has that authority, now it's our job. We need to go and make disciples of all the nation. It's his primary purpose. He could have told us anything at this moment, but he tells us to go and make disciples. Okay? And as a parent, our primary job is to make disciples of our children. There are primary disciples that God has given us. Okay? And he says, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's a hint. We need all three. You know, we need all three. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And it says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. Okay? Obedience is still important, right? Those rules, those things, it's still important, but it's only through that relationship. And it says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end. Okay, so as a parent, okay, first things first, God has given us authority with our kids. Okay, if your kids are running the show in your house, okay, it's time for you to stand up and walk in God's authority in your home. Okay, it's to have confidence, okay, as a parent, because he chose you as their parents. He could have chose anyone to be that kid's parent, but he chose you. Like, God, you thought of me that I could parent these kids. Yeah, and all their mess and all their tantrums and all their things that they got to work on, he chose you because he knew you. He equipped you to do that with his help. Okay? And then, yes, we do need to teach them to obey all the commands. Okay, but that behavior modification is not his primary focus. Okay, it's that relationship. To put first things first is that relationship. Okay, but I've noticed with myself in relationships, when they're not doing what I want, it gets me a little irritated. It gets me a little frustrated. Right? It messes with me as a parent, right? As a person, when those students aren't doing what they want, when those family members, when my kids, when my husband is not doing what they want, they need to know it, right? And even when they know it, they need to know that they did what was wrong. And even if they're feeling it, I need to remind them of it. And you know, punish, discipline, right? But unfortunately, sometimes those two things, okay, get a little mixed up, right? We forget that we need to put first things first with these kids, and that's relationships. We forget sometimes that they're human. Like these kids, they're human. Your teenager is human, okay? Even if they think they don't need to sleep, okay? Or your toddler is human. They have bad days, just like you. You have bad days. You're moody. Okay, I don't think God calls you out on that all the time. He could, but he doesn't. But sometimes we want to just call that out all the time with our kids. You're not doing this. Okay. They have stress in their life. Your teenager, your toddler, your five-year-old, your two-year-old, they have stress. And even though it's not the same stress as you and I, okay, that stress for them has the same effects on their body. Okay, so kids are human, yes. But I can already kind of hear what your thoughts right now. But kids these days, Christy, they just need a good spanking. Yes, some do. I'm sure they do. Okay, but one, you're not their parent. Okay, so don't be worrying about them. You could pray for them. That's about all you can do. But you're not their parent. Okay, and secondly, if you're doing things just because you think they need it, and you're not consulting with God, their Father in heaven, your Father in heaven, then I would take a little step back, consult with God, and see if that's really what they need. Because if you're just doing things because you want, I'm going to tell you, you're going to run into some blocks soon. Everything we do, it should be out of relationship with God. Okay, now we're stuck though, right? Okay, well, they might need a spanking. Okay, they might be having a bad day, so you're telling me two different things, but they need to obey. They need to be doing the right things. It's all confusing. What do I do? Well, what does God tell you? Okay, does he tell you every single kid around here is the exact same, every single person, or did he make them unique? Okay, did he not give you wisdom and discernment in every situation that you have? He didn't just leave you alone. He said he's going to be with you always. And he gave us the Holy Spirit to have discernment and wisdom. So before you act out of what you think needs to be done, consult in your relationship with God. Okay? That's big. Keep it simple, right? Put first things first. Relationship with God and relationship with those kids, okay? But what if you're not a parent, okay? Matthew 28:18-20 still says to go and make disciples. Do you know what go means? It means whatever you're doing, make disciples, okay? So even if you don't have kids, there's still people that you're discipling or you should be discipling. Okay. If you're a parent who isn't a believer, right, you're trying to do it out of your own strength. Okay, but this should be a hope. This should be that ray of light that God, we have access to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who has all power. And the same authority he has, we have it as well. Okay, that we can have partnership with God. If you're not a parent who is a believer, this is a picture of God's grace for you. Okay, God's not looking at you ashamed of everything you're doing or everything you've done. God looks at you and he wants relationship with you. He says, come to me, seek me, okay? And I will help you with those hurts. I will help you to lift your burdens. You're not alone and you're doing it all alone. And that is what really, I would say, breaks his heart, because he wants that relationship. He went to the ends of the earth. He went from heaven to earth for that relationship. Okay, so if you're not a parent, don't tune it out, this whole message. Just switch whenever I say kid to disciple and think about that person you're discipling. But that picture of Jesus, if you've chosen to accept him as your Lord and Savior, then you were chosen to be a part of his family. And beyond that, as a parent, okay, he chose you to be a parent of those kids. Okay, I believe one of the reasons there's a lot of gray area, okay, he doesn't tell you X, Y, Z, do all these things and you'll grow up with an amazing kid, okay, is because he wants you to stay in a relationship with him. God wants you to stay in relationship with you. He wants you to stay close to him. Okay, and if you could do it all on your own as a parent, you wouldn't need God. If you could do life all on your own, then you wouldn't need him. Okay, just look at Adam and Eve and how they parented. I mean, Cain and Abel, one of them killed their own brother, right? If that's not an eye-opening thing, I'd be like, oh, better get right with God right now. But if we look at Colossians 1:9-12, we do have some hope. Like he said, we don't have to do it all on our own. It says in Colossians 1:9, we'll start with there. It says, for this reason, since the day we've heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will Let that be one of the prayers of your heart. You will ask God to fill you with knowledge for each one of your kids, because they're all uniquely made, through all wisdom and understanding. The Spirit's going to help you. Okay, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, like I want to live a life worthy of God. Okay, and that I will bear good fruit, okay, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened. I want all these things as a parent. I need all these things as a parent. And being joyful, yes, parenting can be hard, but we should have joy, like Pastor Jeff just said, right? Family should be a place of joy. Okay, so we're going to look at one story in the Bible right now. So if you are on your phone and you have your Bible, I know that's what you're doing if you have your phone. You're just getting ready. You're going to open your Bible, right? Okay, to John 8. Okay, or if you have a real Bible, I mean, not a real Bible, Bible's the Bible, but if you have a Bible, you can open that up to John 8, and we'll be in just verse 1, that's where we're starting, and if you've seen the title already, or if this rings a bell in your head, yeah, it's about adultery. You're like, wait a minute, Chris, you just jumped from here to adultery? What happened? Parenting. But bear with me, this is a picture of God's heart as he parents a kid, right, his child. Okay, and this was, there is no gray area in this. This woman broke the law of Moses. That's no gray area. She did. Two people caught her. That was what needed the new witness. The witnesses had to come forward. Two witnesses had to come forward in order for her to be accused. I'm like, that's weird. I mean, come on. They caught them in the act of adultery. They were like setting her up. It was like vindictive. Okay. Remind you of your kids sometimes, send their siblings up. All right. Okay, but let's read John 1 through 3. Okay, it says, Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives. So he was just spending time with God right here. So we see even here that he was in relationship with his Father in heaven. He says that he didn't do anything that the Father didn't want him to do. Okay, and he said, but early the next morning, he was back at the temple. He said, a crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As Jesus was speaking, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. So like I said, she was breaking the law of Moses. That wasn't what God intended marriage to be. He didn't want her cheating, breaking up homes, being a homewrecker. But the guy was probably doing the same as well. So what did you expect Jesus to do? What would you do if your kid was doing something wrong? I know you're going to bring out the Jesus-sized spanking spoon, right? Yeah. Jesus-sized spanking spoon. I mean, come on. Some people need a spanking, right? You guys said it yourself. Jesus-sized, right? Let me bring this out. Is that what he does? Right? I think us as parents, sometimes when our kids are acting like fools, right? This is what we want to do. But God wasn't quick to respond, right? Out of anger or out of frustration or out of embarrassment. I mean, he was teaching in that moment. And then they came and made this big mess of him teaching. Hey, God did not act out of anger. He didn't bring out his spanking spoon. Because us as parents, if we have a me-centered discipline, that's going to lead to abuse, manipulation, unforgiveness, offenses, because it's about me being embarrassed. It's about me being frustrated and angry. Instead, God shows a relationship-centered discipline because that leads to life change. So let's finish reading the story. So it says John 8, 4 to 6, 8. Okay, you can have your spanking spoon back. Thank you. They might need that later. Okay, it says, teacher. Oh, and he said, and said to Jesus, teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Like, come on, this is wrong. They kept like badgering Jesus, like, do something. Okay, it says, the law of Moses says to stone her. They were trying to lead her to death. Okay, but they didn't realize who Jesus was. Because you don't come to Jesus trying to lead people to death, because he is life. He is the light. He says, what do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. They thought they were more smarter than God. They didn't acknowledge that he was God, right? There was no ifs, ands, and buts about the law. It was sin. It was wrong. That sin would also lead her to death. Not only was she physically being led to death, right? That sin would ultimately lead her to death too. So what does Jesus do? Okay, we see here that Jesus still puts first things first, which was relationship. Okay, they were trying to lead her to death and darkness, but God is love. And they were leading her straight to it. Hey, you can't trap God. Okay, Pharisees were a little bit blind because they didn't have wisdom. They didn't want to see what was right in front of them. They didn't fear the Lord. So let's, as parents, make sure that we are fearing the Lord. We're not just doing what we want to do. We're not just thinking that everything has to be like this certain way. Because again, that's about me. That's not about relationship and what that person needs. Okay, yes. Jesus, we see next in John 8 to 11. Oh no, did I jump? John 8, 6b to 9. There you go. But Jesus bent down and turned and started to write on the ground with his finger. Okay, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus was unbothered by the sin of this woman. Okay, he did not need to act this certain way. He didn't need to bring the spanking spoon. He had full trust because he knew his relationship with God. He was solid with him. Okay? And when he saw this woman, he didn't just see the sin. He saw her broken heart. He saw the shame because she just was dragged through the town. He saw that she was hurting. He saw that she didn't need to be embarrassed right there. She didn't need to be manipulated. She needed Jesus to love on her in that moment. So that's what God does. He says, okay, let me look at you, everybody, all of you. And sometimes I think God tells me as a parent, he says, look at yourself. Your kid's acting like that. What are you doing? Right? And sometimes it's like a big, okay, all right, you're right. I need to get right with you. Okay? And sometimes I think it takes the attention of my kid doing all that for God to get the attention of me. Okay? But we all ways need to put first things first with the relationship. Do you know the condition of your kids' hearts? Do you know the stresses of their life? Hey, are you setting things up so they can be as healthy as can be? Are they making sure they get enough sleep? Are they being well fed, okay, with the right things? Are we setting them up for success in the kingdom of God, but not only for your household? So again, God sees her heart and he remains calm, even with the pestering of the Pharisees, okay? He knows who he is, just like you know you're a child of God. You know that kid's a child of God. You know that as much as you care about your kid, that God cares even more. Much as you love your kid, God loves them even more. And guess what? God sees past what's happening in that moment, and he says, sees their destiny. He sees the plan and purpose for their lives. Okay, he doesn't fear. Sometimes us as parents, we fear and we're acting out of fear because we don't want them to come X, Y, Z. I've seen the way this has happened before and it turned out this way with this other person I know. Okay, but that's walking in fear. That's not walking in faith with Jesus. Okay, so look past that bad behavior. What is it? Maybe they do need a spanking, but you got to get right, you got to advise with the Holy Spirit about that. Do they need love in this moment? Okay, because God still loved that woman. God still corrected her. Okay, we see this next. Can you pull that up next? The next slide, it says, she says, "No one, sir." He said, "Then neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave the life of sin." He still disciplined her out of love. He said, what you're doing basically was not okay. Like, really, do you want all this to happen again? Right? You're feeling the consequences of the sin, right? He didn't even have to say that, but I'm sure that was already going on in her head. If he didn't have to say it, then it was already going on in her head because he knows that person's thoughts, okay? But he says, now, go now and leave your life of sin. Don't get wrapped up in that again. Okay, now you might be thinking, again, okay, Christy, but do you know my kid? Do you know what they're doing? Do you know how they're responding? Do you know how they're behaving? Okay, but I believe God is unfazed by it as well. Okay, so why are you worried about it? Not trusting God? Is that at the heart of that issue? Are you not having faith that God is not big enough in this situation too? Like I said, God always tells me to look at myself. Am I not having faith for my kid? Okay, am I trying to do too much and thinking God's not enough? Okay, the question is, like I said, why are you fazed by it? Let's look at ourselves, self-reflection. Do you feel hopeless, powerless, overwhelmed, angry, frustrated? Then it's not necessarily a behavior issue with your kid, but a trust issue with God and a faith in him no matter what the situation or circumstance or problem is. So let's put first things first and reestablish that intimacy in our relationship with God should be our main priority. Okay, what is intimacy? That means a closeness with God, spending time with him, hearing from him, making him that first priority. Okay, when we see Matthew 22, 36 to 40, it's pretty simple. I mean, out of everything in the Bible, God sums all the commandments up in two things. He doesn't make it super complicated. He doesn't have these lists of rules and regulations. He said everything is summed up in these two things. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, that relationship, you putting first things first with God. And then secondly, out of that is the overflow that I love my neighbor as myself. I need the first in order to do the second, because people are crazy, right? Crazy. But all the law and the prophets hang up, all of them are summed in these two commandments. Okay, so self-reflect. How are you doing on these two things? Okay, maybe your kid acting up is the only thing that's going to push you closer to God, because we need his strength, because we can't do it on our own. We need his wisdom, his knowledge that he knows about my kid and about the situation. Okay, second thing, are you putting first things first with your kid and their relationship with God? So I think as parents, sometimes we overcorrect on things. I don't trust my kid enough. Don't touch that, do this, don't do that, do this. No, you know, it's overwhelming. You ever been told like 20 different things and you don't know which one to start with, right? I'm just overwhelmed. I'm just not going to start at all, okay? And your kid could be even doing all the right things. They could be a straight-A student. They can do their chores at home. They can be athletic and hardworking. Okay, but if their relationship with God is non-existent or cold, then they're heading for that dark. So we see it's not solely about behavior modification, doing the right things. It's about being right with God and being in close relationship with him. So as you look at your kid, I want you to evaluate their relationship with God. Do they not just know him, but do they experience him? Do they have opportunities in your home to do that, to hear from him? Okay, and then is it life-giving to others? Okay, are they loving others more than themselves? So if you can simplify everything with your discipline with your kid, if God summed up everything in these two things, think about parenting. If I can sum it all up in two things, I would want my kids to do these two things. And when they're not, I need to make sure that I'm correcting it. I need to make sure I am having that discipline in these two things. And then you have to have faith that they'll figure everything else out. Not just that, but he'll give you wisdom to help you figure everything else out, to help you figure out the responsibility and the hard work part of it. But this is what it flows out of. Okay, and sometimes your kids are doing these two things really well, but we're still overcorrecting them, making them feel like what they're doing is not good enough. So let's make sure as we parent that we put first things first, and that's our relationship with God. And secondly, that we're making sure we prioritize this for our kids as well, their relationship with God. I mean, imagine a world where people did this. They loved God with all their heart, mind, and strength, and they loved others. Okay? Imagine parents who did that. I think we'd be a whole lot less stressed out, a whole lot less overwhelmed. We'd be more hopeful. Okay? Imagine a world, like I said, where we were living this out and prioritized it. It'd be more clear for the kids. Like, if I'm going to correct them, I'm just going to refer back to, you're not loving God right now with all your heart. And when I correct them, you're not loving others more than yourself. Wouldn't that make things a lot more clear? They see exactly to the heart of God. Okay? And it's my hope as a parent that, yes, I will show them these things well, but I'm not perfect. Okay? And all I can do that is to lead them to Jesus. Because long after I'm gone, God is still going to be there. And long after they're not in my home, God's going to be the one in their home with them, helping them as a parent, in college, in their workplace. So I can't do it all, but God's always there for them. So let's make sure we're giving our kids hope and leading them to the person, to the being that can do it all, who does know it all, that will always be with them.
Awesome. Thank you, Christy. I loved her heart, because what you see at Christy is she sees lots of young people every day. I mean, over 2,000 kids she's been a part of. And I remember being a teacher myself, and you knew the kids that are being loved on well at home, because when they come into your classroom, they know how to respect each other. They know how to love each other well. They know how to love you as a teacher. And as a teacher, some of my struggle was the kids that needed the most love were the kids who acted like jerks in the classroom, right? Come on. The kids who need the most, let me translate that to you now. The adults who need the most love are the most dysfunctional, because they're the most hurting. We as parents have an opportunity to invest in our kids so well. They are loved so well. They are disciplined so well. They are cared for so well. That when they leave our home, they become these people who can show people that God does exist, because we've helped them. And I remember, could I hear that spanking spoon real quick? It is scary. This scares me very much so. Man, that's scary. I remember going to the groceries. And let me invite the worship team down real quick, too. I went to the grocery store with my kids once when they were young. And there were spanking spoons that they didn't understand that the little wooden spoons that you cook with, those are actually to cook with. They're not spanking spoons first. And they walked to the store with my wife one time and said, "Daddy, that's a big spanking spoon." It was like it was like a spoon like this or something. And so the reason I share that is because some of you come to church and you think that if I discipline my kids, that I'm going to abuse them like this. What I want to encourage you is that when you discipline and when you love on your kids, set boundaries for them and help them to love what Christy said, it's not about their behavior. It's about them learning through your relationship that there are some boundaries on love. There are some things they can and should do that help them to love people better. And you're there to help them to see that. And so I wanted to pray with you this morning that you would stop seeing God in your life carrying around this big old spanking spoon ready to beat you. Some of us think that. And that's why we don't discipline our kids, because we don't want to be that person that's going to wound our kids. And so we don't discipline. Some of you are really strict on your kids, and maybe this message is you saying, "Hey, put down the spoon and why don't you invest in your kids?" Because they can be perfect at home, but when they leave your home, then they struggle because they've been hurt because you haven't invested in their relationship. So there's a whole spectrum here, and I think God wants to do something today where he wants you to put first things first. First things first is that you understand that God loves you. first things first, understand that the kids in your home need to feel that love too. So if you don't know how to receive God's love, it's almost impossible for you to be able to show that love with your kids. It's got to start with you first. So at the end of our services, we always take our tithes and offerings at the very end. I want to thank you for those of you who give here, who help us to love on our city, love on our people. I shared last week that we were able to increase our nonprofit giving, and that's encouraging. We actually went to a banquet on Thursday night at CareNet. There are Pregnancy Resource Center in town, and I got to write on the little banquet form that our church is increasing their giving this year. That's an amazing thing, and it's because of your giving that happens. And so as we pass our offering plates around in just a few minutes as we start worship, I would love for you, if you feel to give and be generous with that. It's not just about our church and keeping the lights on. It's about us investing in our city. And so thank you for being those people. And so we're excited about that. But would you stand this morning? I just want to spend a moment praying and seeking God's heart for you as a parent. One of the biggest things I've learned is to ask the Lord, Lord, how am I doing with you right now? Because how I'm dealing with you is how I'm going to parent my kids. How I'm dealing with God, if my relationship is strong and growing with God, I will have the ability, have the grace to love my kids well. If it's not good and healthy and strong, if I've walked away from God or I don't know him very well, then I will treat my kids how I think God is. Remember when I was a young parent, I was a young Christian, I used to think my kids had to be perfect, and they would have to be disciplined to be perfect. And I remember God telling me, I don't expect that from you. I expect you to grow. You're going to make mistakes. Something you need to hear this is that there are moments in your life where God's going to give you mercy, and your kids need that mercy too. But there are moments in your life where your kids need a good old-fashioned spanking too. You need that too sometimes. The only way you know which one to give, you need to put first things first. And let God speak to your heart. And so I want to pray with you today. God, we thank you today for putting us in this whole topic of spanking and discipline and everything back in perspective, Lord. God, it's all about learning to receive from you and you teaching us how to be great parents. God, there are people in this room today that have never, though we've said things like, I will never discipline my kid because I was wounded by my parents. I was abused by them. There are people in the place today that say that I'm going to discipline and make them perfect kids because I've got to make them perfect because all this function in my life. And all these things, both are extremes that can hurt people. What we need is someone to guide us. Lord, I pray today, Lord, we'd be reminded that there's a person named Jesus who paved the way to guide us, to tell us, to teach us how to discipline our kids well. Lord, we thank you. You are the source. There's no rule book. There's no rules to follow. There's just a relationship with you that will teach us. So I pray, Lord, as we go back into worship this morning, that you would just begin to invite us into your presence, that we would walk with you and you would change us. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship a little bit, and then I want to pray with you one more time.
Thank you for listening to the Church for Life weekly message. Tune in next week for a new teaching. And if you're in the Santa Maria area, please come join us for our Sunday services.